in praying Isaiah 62, it said, God says, I won't give up until your righteousness goes forth. It said, I want the Gentiles to come to your light. I want your light to be married again. Once it was desolate, it will no longer be desolate, because I will take delight in you, because of the everlasting covenant that he made with them. And he said, I have set watchmen upon your walls. We are part of the watchmen. Whenever you are praying for Israel, know that you are fulfilling Isaiah 62 verse 7.
And all of these things is summed up, and God will often use the prophets to speak from different angles, but it's all pointing to one thing. So here we see Jesus Christ, because he is the one to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Psalm 8 also tells us that, and 2, and her child was caught up unto God and to the throne. Now Israel gives birth to this seed, that's the Messiah. And a woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that she should feed there 1,260 days. Amen. If you love Bible prophecy, you go to Daniel chapter 7, you'll find it talks about times, and time and a half. Hallelujah. All these numbers we're talking about, that's the tribulation period, where Israel will face a harsh time. But she will be taken into the wilderness and will be nourished for three and a half years. You know, God will find a way of preserving the people, even though they'll go through the tribulation, until they come to acknowledge that the lordship of Jesus Christ. And there was war in heaven. Everybody say war in heaven. There's warfare in heaven, church. There is warfare. Warfare over this ministry. Warfare over the church of Jesus Christ. Warfare over your life. But we thank God that we have victory through this Jesus Christ. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Who is Michael? He's the chief angel. Whenever Michael is mentioned, Michael always has to do with Israel. He is a warring angel. He's an archangel. You know, they have archangels, which means that they have people that are under them. And Michael is one of them. And usually when Michael is mentioned, Michael's association is with Israel. Because Daniel talked about it when the prince of Persia. But the one who was sent to help him, I believe, was Michael. Because he is the one with the assignment to oversee the people of Israel. Michael with his angels, they fought against the dragon, that is Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there place found anymore in heaven. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. So again, it's taking us back to how Satan was cast out of heaven. Because a third of the host of heaven, the Bible says, his tail swept a third of those angels. So he took one third of God's hosts and they were cast down. Yeah, it's not a joke. And I've said this, Lord, I've asked God, you've heard me say this, God, why? You know, it is the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. Because we are not robots. He didn't make any man a robot. Otherwise, he will control us. But he gave us a power of choice and free will. And he gave me this word. It's a mystery of godliness. This is what makes me God. He gives us a power to exhaust. And then he'll prove. Because Satan and God are no match in a ring. No. You can't put a heavy weight and a bantam weight in the same thing. Or when you do that, the heavyweight has already won. Do you understand? But you see, iniquity must reach a certain level. When he spoke, even in Genesis 15, he said, your people will be in Egypt for 400 years. Do you understand? He said, your people will be in Egypt for 400 years because the sins of the Amorites is not yet full. The cup must reach a certain level for God to bring judgment. So he allows Satan to exhaust all he has to prove that he's guilty beyond a shadow of doubt. And then he will put him where he belongs. Otherwise, God, you are God, you are just. So even if you judge him now, you know, what can be gotten out of? No, he has to get to that level. Iniquity must reach that level for it to call for God's judgment, for God to come down. Hallelujah. We serve the only wise God. Hallelujah. The omnipotent God, the God who is all-knowing. His ways are never our ways. Amen. And we need to continue to to read, and then the Holy Spirit will give us more understanding as we read. So the old dragon, the dragon was cast out, the serpent, listen to his name, great dragon, he's the great dragon, he was cast out, he's the old serpent, hallelujah. He's called the devil, that's the number three name. Number four, he's called Satan, and he deceives the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Satan is not in heaven, he's on earth. And that is why he says this to us as we read. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto death. So it's an incorporation of what will happen to Israel in the end times. Incorporation of the big vision of God. What happened? What played in the heavens? What happened to Satan and his host, where they are at right now? So check, the devil is on earth. Amen? He is on planet earth. And he says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb Jesus Christ, who was given to us or for us. And they loved not their lives to them. But verse 12 says, therefore rejoice ye heavens. Why? Because Satan has been cast out, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but what? A short time. So the devil is cast down, and as I said to you, God has a program. The world is not just existing. Yes, we've come to the brink, the bottom of this statue, and God created the world in 7 days. 6 days is almost exhausted. The seventh day, you know, is the day of the Lord, so the master could appear at any time. But Israel is the focus now. Out of Israel comes our salvation. Out of Israel comes the law. Out of Israel comes covenants that will give the church, and you know, all of us, the assurance that what God said to his people, if he fulfilled it, he'll fulfill it, you know, to us. And that is why there's a great deal of emphasis on Israel. And this is why Satan is mad at Israel. Because if she wipes Israel out, it means that the example for the whole world is taken. It means that God has not fulfilled his word. And if God doesn't fulfill his word, then he is not God. Do you understand? Forever, O Lord, my word is settled. That's what he says. Satan wants to destroy the testimony of God. So he has to do everything he can to do that. So the land of Israel is God's chosen land, and the people, his people, to display his purposes on earth. And Jerusalem is also a place or a city that God has chosen for himself. Out of Israel, we get Jerusalem. Now, when you talk about Jerusalem is a place where it won't go into much depth, but we know that the Jebusites occupied it at a point in time. They couldn't get rid of, if not even Joshua, they couldn't fight for that land after they went and conquered all of that place. Why? Because it's a stronghold. That is where God dwells, and that's what Satan fights. He always what God wants. He did everything. Do you know that it was David who was anointed when David came? He was able to bring down the Jebusites. You read Second Samuel chapter 5, where they said, if you can take out the lame and the blind, then you come in here. And David went in there, and they destroyed the Jebusites, and he called it the stronghold of Zion. And that was where Abraham sacrificed Mount Moriah. That was where the temple is. Well, that is where the temple is right now. And that is where we see the Jewish, you know, the Muslim temple there. Do you understand that? Oh, church, I pray you understand me. Because out of Israel, God chose a city. He chose the land. But out of that land, he chose a city. And he said, this is for me. I've chosen it. Let's turn to Psalm 132 so you can have a good understanding. So when you're praying for Israel, please don't think it's something that, oh, we don't support everything that the people say, but we support whatever God says concerning Israel. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it for his habitation. And you read Psalm 48, you know, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mount of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. It is the joy of the whole world. It's Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. Oh, church. Hallelujah. This is my rest forever. Did you hear that? God says this city, this Jerusalem, Zion, this place, it's mine forever. So all those people are fighting for Jerusalem. Do you know who they are fighting? They are fighting God. Can you take something that belongs to God? When he gives something to somebody, he doesn't want anybody else to take it. And he says, this is mine. I have chosen it. Let's read it again. For the Lord has chosen Zion. The Lord has chosen. He has chosen. He has desired it. This is God's desire. This is my rest forever. God lives in heaven. But I said, when I come on planet Earth, this is my rest forever. So all those people said, we'll divide Jerusalem, we'll give half to the Palestinians. So now you see what God is saying here. It is mine forever. I have desired it. Verse 15, he said, I will abundantly bless her provision. I'll satisfy her poor with bread. Out of Jerusalem flows the blessing of God. Because where God dwells, there is blessing, there's breakthrough, there's everything. So it's like the fountain of blessing to the whole world. So if God dwells here, it means that from here, this is his headquarters, I'm going to supply rain to the heavens, to the earth, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. It's going to flow from here. Hallelujah. In fact, when you read Ezekiel chapter 47, what do we see? He said the temple is here, and we see the temple. He said from the threshold of the temple flow the waters. It flows to where? To the desert places. Oh, church, your mind is being widened. Hallelujah. It is moving from there. So out of that place will the whole world be blessed. He has chosen it forever. That's why Satan is mad. Every reaction against the Jewish nation, understand that it is Satan working against it.
Isaiah 62. It said, God says, I will not give up until your righteousness goes forth. It said, I want the Gentiles to come to your light. I want your light to be married again. Once it was desolate, it will no longer be desolate, because I will take delight in you because of the everlasting covenant that he made with them. And he said, I have set watchmen upon your walls. We are part of the watchmen. Whenever you are praying for Israel, know that you are fulfilling Isaiah 62 verse 7.
So when we stand here, because listen, Micah 4, verse 2, verse 1 and 2, what does it tell us? That the word of the Lord will proceed. He said, in the last days, the mounting of the house of the Lord. Zion is the mount. Jerusalem is also the mount. Every time they're talking about going to Zion or going to Jerusalem, they say we're going up. Hallelujah. He said the word of the Lord will proceed from here. Isaiah said the same thing in Isaiah chapter 2 as you read 1 and 2. He said, hear the word of the Lord. In the last days, this is what is going to come. The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted above all mountains. So all these things that we're seeing is like a chess. And they are moving they are moving the chess from one place to the other. It's setting the stage for God to come and for God's purposes to be fulfilled. So, church, as a church, we are very blessed that God has given us the opportunity to explore his wisdom for the end times. Let's receive it as much as we receive everything else. When it's time for deliverance, you receive it. When it's time for healing, you receive it. When it's time for Israel, you receive it. When it's time for the prophecies concerning the end times, you receive it. It means that this is a whole church, a church that is not myopic, but a church that is open to the things of God. Hallelujah. I've run through, but Satan is fighting. And look, listen, in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, quickly, it tells us, let's turn to it. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, thus says the Lord, we stretch forth the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within. What are we talking about again? God is the one who is in control. Prophecy tells us that there's somebody behind this whole world, this whole plan. And Zechariah is telling us, he did what? He stretched forth the heavens. He laid the foundation of the earth. He formed man and the spirit that is in man. He's in control. He's in charge. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. Oh. And to all people round about, has she become a cup of trembling? When they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Yes, a day is coming when the nations will say, Israel, we know that all the wars that we are having in this world is because of you. Yeah, because they don't understand. But we understand that Satan is behind it. We've read Revelation 12 and we know that he's behind it. But they will surround Jerusalem and Judah because that is the place where God has chosen to bless the whole world. So that's Satan working against the plan of God. But he will use world leaders. He will use people. Verse 3, he said, in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. Is she a burden now? Yes. So we don't know how to carry her. One person toss her here, one person, another person, I carry it a bit. This president comes, they handle it a bit, we can't do it. Then they pass it to the next one. And we said, isn't God wonderful that he never changes? Remember, from generation to generation, he remains the same. Governments come, governments go. They handle this, they can't handle it, and then they toss it to another person. It said, Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone for all people. And this is prophecy. It was speaking hundreds of years ago. But what? It is the mind of God revealed for us now. At the point, they were fighting. But now, it is even worse. It's gone beyond the Middle East. It's transcended the barriers of the Middle East. Now it's in the West. It's in America's cup. It's one of their things that they are handling right now. It's a hot agenda for America. All that burden themselves shall be cut in pieces. Hey, why? Because God says Jerusalem is mine. It's not even just about the Jewish people. It is about the plan of God. I'll cut them in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Oh, listen. So Zechariah has given us a clue. The nations will gather against Jerusalem. And Jesus said that, didn't he say it? He said in Matthew 23, as we come towards the end, he said, you know, the nations will surround you. You see, he said, I've been trying to gather you like a mother hen will gather her chicks, but you will not listen. But the day is coming when all the nations will gather round against you. And then you will cry until you declare that blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So the nations, so God is giving, so this has just seemed like it's quiet now. By the time is going to come when the devil is going to show his true character. And Jerusalem that is receiving favor from the American government, the time is going to set all the nations. Which means that we don't know, maybe after Trump, the next person who comes, they will all come against Jerusalem. Why? Because she holds the key to the world's salvation. That is the whole reason. She is the source of the salvation of the whole world. You see why you must pray for her? You must pray that her eyes will open. Because up until now, their eyes are veiled. But a day will come when you read verse 10. It says, I'll pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Hallelujah. And they shall look upon me whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn son. A whole lot. I will end it here. Next time we'll take it up. Hallelujah. So we know that this is the reason why we must pray for her. But one of the key things that we know about Israel is that because, you know, of their disobedience, God will scatter them. But what did God say? He said, I will regather you in the last days. There's some of the things we spoke about on Friday. He said, one of the clues is when you see Jerusalem, Israel being regathered from the ends of the earth, you know that we are in the last days. Because they were scattered for thousands of years. But May 14th, you can write it now, May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation, fulfilling Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 8. It says, shall a nation be born in one day? It said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You see, they were speaking all of these things, the mind of God, but they didn't know how it was going to play out. Prophets only spoke what God told them, and God told them to write them down for our sake. So they were written so that we don't ignore them. That's why Jesus said, blessed is he that reads and hears the words of this prophecy. So when we read the prophecies of old, it's not like, oh, this is Old Testament. I've said to you, the old, do you know that the new was derived from the old? Those in the New Testament, what were they talking about? The apostles. They were always quoting the prophets. They were always speaking, because the Jewish people, I think from 13, you know, when they have their bat mitzvah, they are schooled, really schooled. So they know the prophecies. So when things are happening, they are not taken, you know, by... But now, people say they are reading the prophecies. Why are they not seeing it? What did Paul tell us in Romans chapter 11? When you read the whole, but as you come to from 32 onwards, or even before then, he talks about the fact that blindness in part is happening to them. Why? Because of us. Church, are you listening? He said, because of us, the Gentiles, those who don't know God, God has blinded them. There's a partial blindness. There's a spiritual blindness. Do you know when Jesus came and he was resurrected from the dead, and then he gave them bread? The Bible says when he broke the bread and gave it to them, their eyes were opened. Which means that sometimes a lot of things are veiled unto us. Believers, even believers, there are things that are veiled. God doesn't allow us to see it. And there are things that at a point in time in your life, God begins to unveil them to you. And some of these prophecies, when Daniel was writing them, chapter 12, the angel said to them, he said, well, seal this. But when you come to Revelation, John was told what? Not to seal this, but to declare it. Because some things are veiled. He said, the time is not yet. But when the time is come, then it will be unveiled. So now this is the time. And that's why in the end times, God will put his spirit upon people and they will begin to unveil the prophecies. Because for years, centuries, they have been veiled. But it gets to a point where God says the prophecies must be unfolded. And then he anoints people who begin to carry his spirit and they begin to unfold the prophecies of God. We must love God. Hallelujah. And love the plan of God. So Israel as a nation has been restored. They've come from the north, the south, the east, and west. And I believe that Jeremiah 16, 14, 15 says, however, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when men will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites out of Egypt. But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, for I will restore them to the land that I gave to their forefathers. What am I saying? I'm saying that God is saying to us, the prophecies concerning the future is this. Jesus said, when you see the fig tree blossoming, you know that the summer is near. Amos and other prophets always, when God is referring to Israel, he will use the word fig tree. So when we see them blossom, blossom means that they are coming up. Now we've seen Israel come from all the ends of the earth. They are now being regathered. So the prophecy here that Jeremiah spoke. So this is the mind of God revealed to prophet Jeremiah hundreds of years ago. But now in our days, they are being fulfilled. So God does not hide. He said what? The Lord God does nothing without revealing them to his servants, the prophets. So all of God's actions that he plans to do up until the end of the statute, Joe, you can put that statute there, have already been written down for us. So we know where we are on God's calendar. He says it will not be said when God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. That is one deliverance. But the next deliverance is this. It shall be declared when God brought his people from the north countries. Where are the north countries? You know, most of them are coming from Russia. We have a lot of Russian Jews who have been taken and schooled. And they are building this settlement so that all the people who are being brought from the ends of the earth will stay in there. Church, let us not be a people who lack understanding. Let us not be a people who are just limited to our problems. Let us not be a people who are afraid of the future, so we don't want to know. Let us not be a people who are so busy with things, other things, that we don't want to know the mind of God. Prophecy is good for us, especially about the end times, to reveal the mind of God. And as we see Israel come back to her land, we know that we are living in the end times. So living in the end times, what does he say to us? Let us occupy until the master comes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And we thank you that, Lord, you are helping us, Father God, to retrace our steps. Father God, to visit the ancient paths. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Isaiah 62. It said, God says, I will not give up until your righteousness goes forth. It said, I want the Gentiles to come to your light. I want your light to be married again. Once it was desolate, it will no longer be desolate, because I will take delight in you because of the everlasting covenant that he made with them. And he said, I have set watchmen upon your walls. We are part of the watchmen. Whenever you are praying for Israel, know that you are fulfilling Isaiah 62 verse 7.